Today is a good lesson. Today is one of those days where I would like to be in all the classes, Deacon Harmon. I would really like to have been in all the classes just to see the approach that the various instructors will use as they attempt to share with you out of the Holy Writ. The lesson today comes out of Numbers chapter 12. We're going to look at the first 16 verses. This is one that that we all can take home this week. We all can pack something out of this scripture today, all 16 verses. As a matter of fact, Brother Bogan, in these 16 verses, there's some 60 folk on here, so they can take choose any verse they want. One will do. One is sufficient today, as I found in my studies. But it's Numbers chapter 12, and the authors have entitled it Miriam and Aaron Oppose Moses. But I'd like to just to share with you a subtitle is that because this unit is about the faithfulness of God. And I Deacon Newsom, I just want to say that God is faithful even when you are not. That's what we're going to look at this morning. We want to stay on the subject. Don't get the one scripture and then run off with it and think that's all. But this entire lesson today is about the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God. Miriam and Aaron oppose Moses. This thing they call church is tough. When you start talking about getting hooked up with church folk, you know, you better come ready. Christianity and being involved in church ministry is not for wimps. If any of you has this great burden and yearning and perceptively calling to do ministry, it would behoove you to look at the books of Exodus and Numbers. By the way, we're going to have a leadership development meeting tomorrow night, 6:30. You know who needs to be there. Leaders, be there. But leadership is tough. But God is tougher. Leadership can be thankless, but God is gracious. Many times when you lead, there are people in your ministries, in your groups, in your household that have not totally endorsed your leadership. That's one of the frailties of humankind. We always want to find the opportunity, Brother Key, to compare and compete. Today, the lesson today will show us that even when we go out of our way to discourage or to disparage the names or the leadership of those God has assigned over us, God is still true. I told you a couple of weeks ago, share with you that God, in fact, is immutable. God doesn't change. He's consistent. And because he's immutable, because he doesn't change, that makes him faithful. God is on the job when nobody else is on the job. God's on the job when your best friend, when your pastor, when your deacon, when the greeters, when nobody else is on their job, God is on his job, because God is faithful. He is the epitome of faithfulness. And since God is so faithful, I'm going to ask a faithful reader, if you feel so inclined this morning, I'm going to say, watch this, Deacon Harmon. If you feel so inclined to read this morning, if you're willing to take up the challenge to read this morning, I just want you to unmute and start talking, start reading. Verse 1, verse 2, tell us about Miriam and Aaron opposing Moses and how it relates to faithfulness. Tell me, the person that reads has got to tell me what verse 1 has to do with the lesson today. All right, let's see, Deacon Harmon. I need you to take notes. I need you to take notes. Deacon Harmon, I'm looking at the screen and there's not one open mic. All the mics are closed up. Okay. Brother Terry, who's that?
And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman who he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman.
Right. And they said, that's good enough. That's good enough. That's good enough, Brother Bolton. Just one. Because I asked you, get one, at least one verse, and you chose one because you started reading. You chose one. So you tell me how that has to do with God's faithfulness, right quick. Don't delay. Don't stutter.
God is faithful to Moses because of who Moses is to God and what he had done. So when Miriam and Aaron spoke against him, God will show them that faithfulness.
Brother Bolton says, when you read verse 1, don't get caught up in what you think the verse is about. Know what it's about. Here is an issue. You've got to look at the people that are involved. Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Siblings. And if any of you got any brothers and sisters, knows that from birth, there has always been this compare and compete mentality amongst siblings. There's always been this sibling rival. Let's look at the players. Moses is the leader of the nation of Israel. He has been called by God. He has been anointed by God. He's been appointed by God. He's been approved by God. What else do you need? He's God's man to lead the nation. He didn't choose Aaron. He didn't choose Miriam. He didn't choose Bogan. He didn't choose Minister Brown. He chose Moses. But Miriam and Aaron are his brother and sister by birth. And they have been anointed, appointed, and approved by God to be, in Aaron's case, the high priest. In Miriam's case, a prophetess. Oh, yes, she was a prophet. Oh, yes, he was the high priest. But Moses was the leader of the nation. See, it's real important, because as you look at those three positions that these siblings have, they are a type or an image that points to somebody. Somebody better help me this morning. Because the last time I checked, Jesus Christ held all three, holds all three. He holds all three of those offices. He's prophet, he's priest, he's king, he's ruler. All in one personality. But in the Old Testament, we see this in three personalities in the early development of this nation. And Bogan has given us some clue that these officers now come, these, and they are close to you. See, that's the thing that you gotta realize when you're in leadership. A lot of times when you do leadership and people who are close to you are not sharing in that leadership, they don't understand it. Or they're not in that ministry, they don't understand it. And what verse 1 tells us today is that some of the people who are the closest to you are the people who can bring the most stinging criticism of you. That husband, that wife, that brother, that sister, that child that's sitting next to you this morning. It can bring some harsh criticism. And a lot of the criticism, and Brother Bogan is going to take us out of this in a minute. A lot of the criticism is not what the problem is all about. Y'all don't hear me. People use things. People use little weaknesses, little flaws, and they amplify it in your life so that they can come to you and deal with you about a more serious matter. I guarantee you. As a matter of fact, the time spent on verse 1 now, it's too much time. Because many folk by now, Brother Bogan, they've gotten into what I warned some of my family church school teachers not to do this week. Don't get hung up on the things that are not profitable, what the text is not really about. And take this particular verse for what it is. All it says was that they made a comment at the end of the verse there, Brother Davis, that would have some believe that this is an ethnicity problem. I will assure you that the text is silent about the root cause or what the real reason is, but I can assure you that it's not ethnicity. Let me show you why. Many will think that they made a pejorative remark about Moses' wife, Zipporah. Because of that, oh no, we certainly wouldn't have any racism. So Moses must have got another wife. His wife, Zipporah, must have died, and this is another wife. Because she wasn't an Ethiopian. She wasn't a Cushite. That's your mouth. Take the text for what it says. Because I would suggest to you that in looking at the rabbinical interpretations of that particular verse, the Jews themselves use the term Cushite, not pejoratively. It was to describe the darkness of the skin and the beauty of it. So it might go like this. Moses, Why you married this beautiful black woman? I got a problem with that. That ain't the issue. And it certainly couldn't have been an issue after they've been in the desert all this time and Moses brought this woman to them before they exited Egypt. That can't be the problem. Or is it something that's been stewing? Brother Bogan, if you read verse 2, I guarantee you'll see what the problem is. Because remember, people come to you criticizing you about little things. They don't like the length of the family church school. So they come and tell you, is there any way that we could cut down the comments, you know, and fellowship? See, that ain't the issue. The issue is something else. The issue is they don't like how they do Sunday school. Steve, smile with me. You know we've been there. You know, we've been there. People always come to you with things. They throw up what we call a smoke screen so that they can hit you with what they really want. And here, Moses has got a problem. But I would tell you before we leave verse one, that if you look at the rabbinical interpretations, the Jews themselves interpret the way they show it in the Midrash and the Torah. They show it, Brother Davis, that they weren't making a pejorative term, but what they were concerned about was that, remember, there was a mixed multitude and they previously had caused all the problems. Okay, this mixed multitude with people who some believe they were also people of different ethnicity, but their ethnicity didn't necessarily mean that they didn't embrace it. The God of Egypt, but I mean the God of Israel. But the issue here is the rabbis after the 13th century believed that the issue was that Moses, a marital practice with Zipporah, had come to a point that he had such pressures from ministry that he had declared between him and his wife that he would live in celibacy. And Miriam and the priest came in. We weren't talking about the fact that they were, that she was black, but that Moses had separated himself from her. Ah, chew on that this week. Brother Bogan, verse 2.
And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it.
Bingo. Somebody just won the jackpot, because verse 2 is what the real issue is. The real issue, they're going to use this opportunity, the status, this little thing, this little difference. And you say, well, it wasn't necessarily a difference if he was doing, no. Him and his wife had worked out an agreement, if the rabbinical interpretation is correct. And Moses says, I'm going to dedicate my time and effort during this season to leading these folk through this wilderness. I want to be totally focused. I want to be totally faithful. I want to give my whole life to the work of this ministry. And now they come. That's what they don't like. And they come in verse 2 and they say, wait a minute, ain't the Lord spoken to us? Miriam, am I not a prophet? Has God not spoken to me? Does God not talk to me, Moses? And Aaron, who's very pliable, we know that from his consenting to build a calf. Here the high priest goes along with the sister. They both older than Moses. Why didn't the Lord choose us? And you know what? I don't believe God has given this ministry just to one man. Did God not speak to me? This is Miriam. Oh, mouth and Miriam. She's yakking. But I want you to see verse 3. Now that you know what the problem is ain't got nothing to do with race. The problem is it's got to do with position and jealousy. Mm-hmm. They are jealous of Moses' position because God deals with Moses and they're challenging the authority of Moses. And folk, I will tell you, anytime you challenge the authority of the man or woman of God that God has anointed to be in that leadership position, you're crossing dangerous ground. Yes, God has given you an anointing, but he hasn't given you an anointing to be the pastor. He's anointed and he's called the man that he wants in that leadership role. He's called, oh yes, you can preach, you can teach, you can share, you can minister, because that's what God has spoken to you to do. But he's not called you to be the pastor of resurrection. He didn't call you to be the leader of the Jewish nation. Verse 3, I want you to look, because this is my favorite verse. And if I don't get through the lesson, I really have gotten through the lesson already. Because the lesson is, whenever you are unfaithful, God is still faithful. Whenever you act aberrant and act a fool and want to insert yourself, you want to step up, God is faithful to sit you down. when he has not asked you to step up, he will sit you down. Showed you that a couple of weeks ago. But then verse 3 shows that whenever folk come at you, Minister Brown, that come at you and question your authority, question your anointing, question what God is doing in your life at this time, verse 3 is there. Notice it's in quotation, a parenthesis. Look at it, Deacon Harmon. In verse 3 blew me away. This is my favorite verse. You know why? Because let me tell you one thing. It says that God is faithful. Why aren't you? That's what verse 3 says. Look at verse 3. Bogan, do it for us, Brother Bogan.
Now the man Moses was very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth.
And the Lord spake. Now that's all I want to say. Bogan read, but verse 3, I told you. He says, parenthetically, Moses was very humble.
Mm-hmm.
Meek man. And you know what verse 3 showed me? Moses cared more for being faithful to God than defending his reputation. They had made an accusation about him and his wife. You don't hear him argue. So what do you mean? You know who you're talking to? You know how y'all would act. I know how Mike Mitchell would act. You know, and Kathleen said, wait a minute, you don't know who you're talking to? He didn't start calling off all the stuff that he had done. He said not a word. But if you notice in verse 2, God heard every word that they said about Moses.
Mm-hmm.
Moses said not a word. Didn't try to defend his reputation. And let me show you why that's important, Deacon Harmon. Because many times we try to defend our reputation, what God is doing in our life. We try to take on that responsibility, and what we do, we make it up. I mean, we mess it up. And the reason is because we are flesh. We yield to the flesh instead of the Spirit of God. And when you yield to the flesh, I guarantee you when you yield to the flesh, Vanessa Reese will hurt you. When you yield to the flesh, Dolores Ogletree will, Bobby Key will put something on you. Cora Randall is positioned to deal with you. When you yield to flesh, Moses said no. Because Moses knew that if he got in a verbal contest, people would get hot. If he took it this so personal, this affront to his authority, he could never be used the way that God intended him to be used. Y'all don't believe me, do you? Let's keep reading. Remember I told you, God heard it. Moses is humble, didn't say a word. And the Lord did what?
Spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they
the
three.
The battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. See, because when people are speaking against your anointing, you've got to turn it over to the person that gave you the anointing. They didn't give you an anointing. Resurrection Baptist Church didn't give you an anointing. God gave you an anointing. And God hears it when people speak against your appointment and your anointing. And suddenly, quicker than quick, faster than light, faster than 186,000 miles per second, God said, come here, Moses. Come here, Aaron. Come here, Miriam. Come out of the tabernacle. And it says that God stood there. And in verse 5, it says, and God did what, Brother Bolton?
And the Lord came down in the pillar of a cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came out, came forth.
What did he say when they came out?
And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream.
God says, the last time I checked, Miss Miriam, the last time I checked, Brother High Priest Aaron, I'm God. I'm the one that calls prophets. And while I'm on that subject, I'll tell you how I've called them and what I've called them to do. It is I who call them. It is I who tell them what to say, when to say it. And I do it in a special way. Dreams and visions. Sister Miriam, when I called you in a dream and a vision. You have never spoke to me mouth to mouth, lip to lip, ear to ear. Y'all better hear me. Mm-hmm. Because in verse 7, it said, but my servant Moses, him and I have talked lip to lip, not in a vision, not in a dream. There's something special about the anointing that I've placed on this man of God who leads this nation. And the reason is that there's got to be clarity that when you hear something from Moses, you know it's from God. Mm-hmm. You don't have to guess whether or not the prophet, you don't have to set up these tests to see if the prophet is right. When Moses speaks, you know he's heard it directly from God. There has been a verbal, a vocal manifestation of God talking to Moses. And so he can't get it wrong. You can interpret the dream wrong, maybe. Maybe you missed, you didn't see what you thought you saw. But with Moses, I speak to him directly because that position is so critical. So let's review right quick. Here they come, challenging Moses, using a smoke screen of race to get to the real problem, that they are jealous, they're envious of his position. They're envious of his place. So you know what they did, Sister Terry? God put them in their place. And if you'll just let God put people in their place, and don't you, Paulette Lovelace, try to put them in their place. Don't you, Ogletree. Don't you, Hollis. Don't you, Fred. Don't you, Cynthia Burris, try to put people in. I know you're smart. I know you got a lot going for you. I know you guys get a lot of stuff done. But you know what? Let me tell you one thing. You can get it done, but you won't get it done right. What you need to do, a servant of God needs to be faithful to God and submit to the authority of God and let God fight your battle. You do what God called you to do. You do what you have been told to do. And if you know that God has called you to do something, you don't worry about other folk.
You're so busy trying to rule the pastor, you have missed your passion. Yeah. You're so passionate about controlling the committee that you don't even see your call. But whenever folks step out, it ain't up to you to be jumping on them. You turn them over to God when you know you're doing God's bidding. Oh, that verse 3 is very powerful. And Moses was humble. Moses submitted. Moses showed humility. And in showing that humility, Moses is demonstrating, oh, he's putting up the greatest defense in the world, but he's doing it in the power of God, in the authority of God. All right. Sister Lovelace, unmic. Bogan, his throat's a little dry. He needs to drink some water or something, you know. Sister Lovelace, are you in verse 8? Could you speak to me in verse 8?
Yes. Verse 8. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?
I had you read that, Sister Lovelace, because he's talking directly to Miriam. Miriam is really the instigator in that. You know, big sisters can make you do it. I don't know how many of y'all got, you brothers got big sisters. But them big sisters, if they're older, it can be tough. But God, all them tough big sisters and them tough big brothers that you got, God will always put them in their place. God will tell them where you know, you may be the baby in the family, or you may be that middle child, and you got that big brother who just says that, you know, I don't know how God called you. I've been praying to the Lord for years to give me work in the ministry, to preach or teach the word, and here you are. How did he call you? You ain't got to debate and discuss that. God will put them in their place, and he will say, look at here. I talk to Steve Harmon. I don't talk to you that way. What I told him is very clear. That's why you see him doing what he's doing. It's very clear to him. He can't do nothing else because God told him. I spoke to Davis. So I don't care what you think of him. I'm telling you, there's something special about him. And I'm surprised, Paulette, that you would criticize the man of God. See how I set you up there, Sister Paulette? I'm surprised. How is it that you fixed your mouth? That's what God is saying. How is it that you fixed your mouth? I know you're a woman of God. I know you're a prophetess. But how did you fix your mouth to talk against the anointed one, the one that I personally chose, the one that I speak to intimately? How could you ever challenge that? Mm-hmm. And I'll read verse 9, Sister Paulette. And the anger of the Lord kindled against them, and he departed. God said what he had to say, and then he got out of there. Moses' reputation has been defended by the greatest defense attorney in the world, because the defense attorney and the prosecutor and the judge are one in the Godhead. His reputation, turn it over to God. We don't have to prove nothing to anybody. There's a whole bunch of, can you guys imagine the way that you know, we were recounting experience in the various deacon ministry yesterday and various levels, and it got the reflecting about how long you know, I've served in this ministry as a deacon. Matter of fact, in December, the first Sunday in December, it'd be 25 years. And I share asked some of the deacons and the youngest deacon in terms of short term terms of service, 8 years. Been here at least 8 years of knowing the heart of Pastor Brown, being a deacon, a partner in ministry. Well, the greatest, the one of the greater numbers was 33. 33 years. And as a matter of fact, I'll use Deacon Newsom because he is my friend. And matter of fact, he'll call me up and he won't challenge me on the line, but he'll call me up and say, "Man, why didn't you just leave my name out your mouth?" You know, but Deacon Newsom, 33 years. When Pastor Brown came here, Deacon Newsom's a deacon. Deacon Newsom chose him to be the chairman of deacons. And I'm quite sure that's right. They wouldn't express it because, see, we got folk who've read numbers before. They ain't going to be messing around with that. They said, "Oh, yeah, Newsom is the man. God chose him. Pastor chose him. God selected him. Pastor chose him. We all right." And that's the way it should be. Mm-hmm. Don't question church leadership, because if it's not going to work out, it's on God. Or it was not of God. It was because of something that man wanted. Mm-hmm. But when God has called you to do something, you don't worry about the criticism. And see, many, they didn't want to lead Brother Bogan. They didn't want to step out there and read the lesson today because they were, "Oh, somebody going to criticize, or they going to call me to do something." No, when you are called, just go. Just answer the bell. And then don't try to defend that. "Why they let Bogan? Bogan is the least of the person that should have read that. Why they let Paulette read that?" Because they were asked to do it. They were asked to do it by the instructor, the person who had the authority to do it. Don't question it. Mm-hmm. Because it kindled an anger. And the one thing you don't want to do, you make Davies mad, yeah, he'll you know, it won't much come to it. You know, he's like Moses, he mild meat. But let me tell you something. Don't make God angry with you because of your jealousy, because of your pettiness, mm-hmm. because of your desire to compare and compete with the men and women of God. Mm-hmm. Does Paulette pick up 10 and 11? We gotta go.
Okay. "And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, and Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned."
You know, I like I said, I don't know why I did it, but Sister Paulette, you just blessed me in the reading of verse 10. Because the way she read it, it's not even what she read, it's the way she read it. It was almost, you could hear her repenting for Miriam. See, in verse 11 there, I'm sorry, I said 10, but in verse 11, it says, "And Aaron Moses, when she got to alas, I heard something I didn't hear when I studied and when I read it myself. But it says, "Alas, my Lord," that's from Aaron. That's Aaron talking. He's saying, "I beseech you that which Miriam would not say for herself, I'm saying it because I'm the high priest. Now I'm doing what I need to do." See, because a high priest intercedes on our behalf. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't got that shouting. Y'all don't know when to shout. It says that the high priest can plead just as if though I was saying it. He can plead for me just as I was saying. That's why Jesus the Christ had to come down here and learn and live as a man so that God would know. See, God knows everything about a man, but he had never experienced being a man. See, you can know man, but have you experienced man? That's why a mother can raise a boy without having, you know, she's a woman. But Sister Paulette read that thing and she says, the high priest says, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee. In other words, this sin's got to get off of me. She's a leopard. She's sinful. And the consequences of that sin has come upon her. But praise be to God, we have a faithful God who has put into place an intercessor that knows, recognizes the sin, and then says, Lord, do something about it. Sister Lovelace, read an 11 and a 12 and 13 for me right quick, because we're out of time. I want to show you guys this.
Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried to the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee.
The intercessor, the sinner, went to the mediator. Y'all don't understand. Y'all don't understand. It was Moses that talked to God. But notice, it was the high priest that talked to Moses. The high priest talks to the mediator, and the mediator talks to God. Oh, the high priest talks to Moses, the mediator, and the mediator talks to God. If Moses, Brother Bogner, had tried to defend his reputation himself, he'd have got mad and he'd have probably struck his sister. He'd have probably knocked his brother out. And now he's sinned in trying to defend himself, in trying to fight a battle that was not his. But because he was humble, because he was faithful, because he submitted to the power of God, he's now able to be used of God to help cure this sickness. See, a lot of times when you get in those arguments in the church, trying to defend yourself, you now can't be used for the intended use. Because if Moses had done that, he would have disqualified himself. But now he's qualified. And you say, well, what about Aaron? You know, why did they pick on the poor woman? See, they done went from ethnicity. Now they're talking about physiology. Because she's a woman. She was a leper. What this scripture is demonstrating is that God is so faithful, he will not cut off all of your avenues for redemption. Miriam was the mouthy one. She was the leader. She was the epitome of sin. He who sinned himself had to come in repentance and acknowledge that and says, please, on her behalf, spare her. And that's you and I. That's the beauty of you and I. Even though we sin, we now have access to the very throne of grace, and we can intercede. People who are sinners can intercede on behalf of other sinners, and we can cry out to God, God, heal her from this situation. God, we have sinned. Both of us sinned. I bring that sin before you now. Moses, you're our mediator. Please tell God, don't leave her in this condition. 14, 15, take us out.
And the Lord said unto Moses, if her father had put spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that, let her be received in again. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. And afterward, the people removed from Hazeroth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran.
Somebody say God is faithful. Somebody say it. I told y'all, this ain't about no race war. This isn't even about petty. This is about God's faithfulness, even when we are not. God here says, you know, there is a remedy for your sin. You're a leper. You have this skin deformity. You've been ostracized now. You're going to be forgiven, but there's always a consequence of sin. See, the consequence of sin is that it separates you from God. That's why she was put out. Because, you know, in the 7 days, you know, that it takes 7 days, a day, 7 days for in the Jewish mindset that you would be completely washed, cleansed. So he says, if the father of Miriam had spit in her face, she would be considered unclean. And she would have to go and be washed. Here's what I'm going to do. I am so faithful. I am so solid in my conviction about sin. You'll be punished for the sin. In terms of consequences, separated. But you'll be bought back. If Moses had fought with those two siblings, he could not have asked God. He could not served as a mediator. But because he did, he was able to save his brother and his sister. The other beautiful thing about it, she was put out to camp, Sister Davis. You know how them big bad bosses want to put you out to camp every now and then? They're just carrying out the judgment. But God says she can be bought back in. What's your responsibility as priest? Because we are all a part of the royal priesthood. Mm-hmm. We're going to intercede on their behalf. And when there is one who has are suffering the consequences of their sin and they are being ostracized, God says, do like the children of Israel, Sister Hollis. Wait on them. Work with them while they're being sanctified. Work with them while they're being changed. Work with them while the stripes, the spots are falling. Work with them, but you're going to have to do it from a distance. But don't you move until they're ready to move. So when you start talking about, all these people coming here, all these sinners and all this kind of stuff, and all these baby Christians, what God is telling us, Deacon Harmon, is don't you move so quickly. Don't you think that everything has got to be slicked and polished before you go to the next level. There are some people there that you need to wait on. There are some people that are reeling from the consequences of sin. Brother Davies, the whole nation, and when I say whole, I'm talking about those who have been made whole, that are being perfected, that are whole, they're going to have to wait on the infirm. But the last time I checked, after 7 days, she came back. Mm-hmm. I don't read anywhere in scripture where this happened again. Because see, when you know the consequences of sin, you're stuck on stupid if you keep on doing it. But God is faithful. That even when you're not faithful, even when you talk about the men and women of God, the very people, even when you talk about that deacon, you know, it concerns me that folk talk about their deacons instead of praying for them. Because you know what? I don't know a deacon on this Zoom call or any of the others that are in family church school or the ones that are not in family church school, that if you didn't call them, they would not take your call. Some deacons have 100 families, over 100 families. 1.2 times 100. That's how many folk that they are in charge of. But even when we are not faithful, even when a deacon is not faithful, even when a prophet, a preacher, a priest is not faithful, God is still faithful. That's my time. I'll see you guys in church. Be faithful.